Grace, mercy, and peace to you through God our Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. So by a show of hands, who likes road trips? Okay, well, a lot more hands than I thought. You know, I think they're great. All the fun, long hours of sitting in the car, not doing anything. Or, you know, how you get to see the once beautiful American landscape, now covered with factories, homes, and the least annoying of all man-made structures, the billboard. Or how about not knowing when the next gas station is, when you really have to go to the bathroom, or when that little amber light comes on that tells you you only have 50 miles before you're stuck in the middle of nowhere, just you and the billboards. Road trips are just simply fun. Now let's think about the other way, major way of journeying these days, the airplane. Once again, plane trips are just plain fun. Get it? There's the hour waiting in lines so that you can meet the ever-pleasant security personnel. And then you get to sit in a metal cylinder about 5-ish miles above the earth with 100 of your closest friends, of which 5 normally sound deathly ill. And that's just during the flight. Hopefully they haven't lost your luggage or someone hasn't run off with it. Don't you just love flying? So I might have been being just a tiny bit sarcastic about these two forms of travel. They, of course, both have their upsides. But when you're having a bad day or something goes wrong, any form of travel can feel just awful. Coming from a military family, I could bore you all afternoon with stories of trips that have gone awry because of one small hiccup. And probably the worst thing in traveling is when you're going to an event that you don't want to go to, like a funeral. But I'm not here today to share horrible travel stories of mine. I'm here to talk about a journey that happened a long time ago. I'm here to tell you about the journey of a father and to sacrifice the dearest thing to him, his son. Our Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 22, and we hear about the promised son Isaac and his father Abraham on their journey. God decides to test Abraham and tells him to take Isaac and to go on a long journey and sacrifice him on the top of a mountain. Abraham doesn't ask any questions. Early the next morning, he gets up and takes Isaac, 2 servants, a donkey, and some wood for the sacrifice of his son. Then they begin what we can only assume was the longest 3 days of Abraham's life. Now, this journey, by our standards, is not very long. In fact, it's only about 30 miles. That's something most of us drive in a day or even an hour. Some of you might have even already driven 30 miles to get here. But during Abraham and Isaac's time, it was a three-day journey. Not to mention the fact that Abraham knew what lied at the end of this journey, him sacrificing his son, his one and only son, whom he loved dearly. I can't even imagine what they talked about during this trip of sacrifice, nor what Abraham was thinking about during those 3 days that seemed to go on forever. Then, on the 3rd day, they finally arrived, and Abraham leaves the 2 servants and the donkey down at the foot of the mountain, and he takes Isaac and the wood up the mountain. There, he builds an altar to the Lord. He stacks the wood on top of it, and then he ties up Isaac and puts him on top. Abraham grabs the knife and the fire, and he is ready to sacrifice Isaac. But God intervenes by saying, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, here I am." And God says, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing that you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." A ram caught by its horns in the thicket in the bush nearby is then provided as the sacrifice for the atonement of sins. And Abraham calls the mountain the place the Lord provides. This name, the place the Lord provides, is definitely true about this biblical account that we just heard. But this is not the only time this name is appropriate for this place. This mountain where Isaac is almost sacrificed is the exact same spot where many years later King Solomon would build the temple to the Lord. And the temple that Solomon builds is another way that the Lord provides for his people. It's where sacrifices for the atonement of sin happened. This is where the Lord provides forgiveness for his chosen people of the Old Testament through blood offerings. Not only on this mountain, but in this surrounding area, the Lord provides a place for his people to live for thousands of years. It was a long journey between when Isaac is almost sacrificed and when the Jewish people take possession of their land. It was a journey filled with slavery, famine, and 40 years of wandering in the desert. But the Lord provides this land, and specifically this mountain, for his people. However, this is not the only journey that leads to this mountain. The other journey that leads to this mountain begins in a little town called Bethlehem, on a night when angels sang and shepherds wondered. This too is a journey of a father and a son. And it begins at the beginning of time. It begins because of a choice made by our first ancestors, thousands of years before Abraham and Isaac. A choice made to take a bite from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It begins when our ancestors commit that very first sin, a sin that we still carry with us until this day. This is the journey of Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, living with us and as one of us for 33 years. Until he goes to the mountain where the Lord provides, and he provides forgiveness for those who believe in him. This mountain where the Lord provides is the same mountain where Isaac was almost sacrificed. It is the same mountain where countless sheep, bulls, and doves were used for the atonement of sins. This mountain is where Jesus Christ was sacrificed for us on the cross and rose again. The journey of Jesus Christ to this most holy of mountains is the most important one ever. It is the journey that leads to forgiveness for our original sin imposed on us by our very first ancestors, and for our actual sin, the things that we do wrong in the eyes of the Lord. Our reading for today, this biblical account in Genesis, that in the beginning makes God look like a cruel and unloving God, is turned into a promise and a foretaste of what is to come. The promise that God makes to Abraham is in verses 17 and 18, and it says, "I will surely bless you. I will surely multiply your offspring as the stars of heaven and as the sand that is on the seashore. And your offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." When God tells Abraham that his offspring shall possess the gate of his enemies, he's not just talking about David defeating the Philistines, or about how Gideon, fighting with only 300 men, would defeat the Mennonites. No, he is talking about Jesus Christ defeating sin, death, and the devil through his death and resurrection, the culmination of his journey here on this earth. And when God says, "In your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed," he was not just talking about the numerous great artists and thinkers that have come from the Jewish people, like Albert Einstein. No, he was foretelling the journey that Christ would take to the cross, the journey that would end in salvation for all nations of the earth, all people, not just those of Jewish descent. And through these promises, we see that God is not cruel or unloving, but in fact, that he is truly and completely loving. He loves us so much that he sent his one and only Son to die a horrible death on the cross for us. Today, we took a journey with a father and a long-promised son. They took this journey to a mountain for the son to be sacrificed for the atonement of sins. No, I'm not talking about Abraham and Isaac. Today, we took a journey with God and his son, Jesus Christ. We followed them from the beginning of the world to the mountain where the Lord provides three times. God provides a ram to spare, God provides a ram caught in the thicket to spare Isaac. But this same God does not spare his own son. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. We followed them to the mountain where the Lord provides temporary atonement through the sacrifices of animals. We followed them to the mountain where the Lord provides eternal atonement for sins. The mountain where the Lord provides us with freedom from sins through his Son's death and resurrection on the cross. Amen. In Jesus Christ's saving name, amen. Now the peace that surpasses all understanding guards your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.